Welcome to the show, friends. Today is special. My very good friend, Lindsay DeShort, is here with me today. Now, if you are familiar with this podcast, you know that Lindsay and I met through a podcasting class last year. She is in the same midlife space, and we formed what I think is an amazing bond. And from the very beginning, we felt it not necessary to compete, but to support each other, because that is what all women should be doing, period. End of sentence. So the last time Lindsay was on, we did a Christmas fireside chat, which was fun. And obviously that was on last December, if you want to go check that out. It's funny because we talked about where we saw ourselves in a year. And I don't think Lindsay could ever really have predicted where she would be and what monumental decisions that she would be making. But this year she had a foundational pull to do, be, and become something different. And instead of playing it safe and going with what she knew, she pivoted like a lot. And it wasn't easy. And I think that she will be the first to admit that. I can't wait to have you hear about what she's been up to, how she has chosen herself this year, and what that has looked like. And I know that you're going to be inspired. So let's go. Hey, friend, welcome to your safe place to begin redesigning midlife. Do you know deep inside that it is time to start focusing on your health and wellness, but have no idea where to start? Do you wake up every morning saying, I'm starting today, and end it with, I'll start again tomorrow? I'm Leslie, and when I turned 50, I felt the same and longed for some sense of self-control and new confidence in who I was becoming in midlife. I finally realized that the change I needed was up to me. In this podcast, you are going to find everything you need to build your healthiest midlife today, to live happier and longer tomorrow. So embrace being a beginner again, open your heart to change, and let's get to redesigning. Okay, Lindsay, how are you?
Oh my goodness, what an introduction. You nearly made me cry.
Really?
Yeah, sorry. Really.
Well, I thought that crying from laughter, because I did hear you laughing during the intro.
Yeah. But just as you say, formed such an immediate bond, and so grateful for that because it's helped us both along the way, I believe.
It has. And okay, we are recording this in October. So I can honestly say that we have been friends for over a year. Isn't that crazy? Whoop. Isn't that crazy to say that?
You sent me a card, and when I unpacked all of my stuff, I put that card out, and that card sits by my bedroom mirror.
Oh, that's sweet. I tell you, I love a handwritten card.
Yeah, you know? Me too.
It's from the heart. I've sent a lot of those. I'm so grateful that you have that. I won't say where your mirror is located because you have a big story to tell us. So I'm just gonna jump right in here. All right, you need to tell us what the hell has been going on with you since you were last on the podcast last December.
Well, I made some big decisions, and I made some brave decisions. Some think they're a little bit crazy. But I say some think they're crazy. Nobody was really surprised that I was going to do something. I think they were just surprised at the enormity of what I chose to do.
I was not surprised at the change. I was surprised in how quickly you jumped on it. And I know you're eventually going to tell us what all this is, right?
So I've been married for 20 years. Mm-hmm. And when our two boys were young, we decided to move from England to Canada, because we wanted lifestyle choice and outdoor life and, you know, snowy climate and all this outdoor fun stuff. Mm-hmm. So 15 years ago, we moved to Canada. And my husband is Swedish or English, so it's not like we had any connections to Canada. So off we went. So we decided to set up our new young family in Canada. And I got pregnant, so I had my third child in Canada, my daughter. And so we had, our life in Canada, and it was on the outside world, it was all just fine and rosy, and everything was good, and I was running my business and doing all sorts of things. But there was always an underlying, I want to say, tension, worry, knowing, you could say. And so my oldest son went off to university 3 years ago. So that was one of those things that shakes the family. Then my second child, my middle son, came to England last year to pursue a football or soccer career. It didn't go well. And then the house that we were living in, that had been our house from 3 weeks after moving to Canada, we saw it, we bought it, we moved straight in, and that's where we were for the next 15 years. Through a contrived sort of funny situation, back in, what I say, 2017, there was a big property boom where we were. So we sold the house and we rented it back off the landlords. So we rented our own house back.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know
Yeah,
that.
which was interesting. Good financial move, very good financial move, because we were living in kind of a fairly rural area. And it allowed us a lot of financial freedom to make some different choices. Anyway, so we were renting our house. And then in March of this year, the landlord said, "We want to sell the house. And how long do you want to be in the house for?" So we said, "Okay, well, we need our daughter to finish elementary school. So we need to be in until the end of June." And then we said, "Right, okay, so what's next?" Because both my husband and I said, "We're not going to stay here. There's no reason for us to stay here. There's no family here. We don't work here. We both work from home. What's next?" We'd come to a very natural break. It's like, okay, so what's next? And then we had the conversation of, I said, "I want to go back to England." Mainly because a lot of things had kind of, fitted into place. A few years ago, my dad died. Obviously, my mum's getting older. During COVID, I spoke to more people outside Canada than inside Canada. So I just figured, actually, where are my roots? Where does my heart lie? And my husband said, "I don't want to go back to England." And I couldn't actually see any way forward. So I said, and he said, "Well, do you want to, wherever we go, do you want to do this together?" And I plucked up every single bit of courage in my body and said no.
Whoa.
And it still actually makes my stomach flip.
Oh, I can only imagine. How long were you married at this point?
20 years.
20 years.
And it was never, and I don't want to be disloyal because we're still on, great terms. I mean, my daughter's over in Canada with him now. And he's just been sending me photos of stuff they're doing, coming from a good place. So we're not on, I mean, it's slightly uncomfortable, but it's not bad terms. But it was one of those situations that had been going on for so many years that I actually felt lonely within my own marriage. And I, with all the stuff that I teach people, with all of the personal development work that I've done, there was this one thing that was always just, it just felt so inauthentic. And I just went, I can't do this. There are so many aspects of my life I absolutely love, and my relationship is not one of them. And as our lives grew apart, which they did, we didn't have friends in common. We didn't have activities in common. Once, especially once the children, grew and went their own way. And I just had to draw the line. I said, "I cannot do this. I just can't see my future here." with you.
Yeah.
So within a couple of months, we packed up the house. He moved out to a rental. All the kids came home so we could figure out what was going on. And it was weird because we were still living as a family.
Right.
All five of us in the house. It was, you know, a bit weird, but it was, considering there was all five of us, there's still never been any arguments, anything like that. There's been sadness and disappointment. Mm-hmm. But just because I think we had so many hopes and dreams that we hoped and dreamt, but they weren't working out. And I was like, they're not working out. We've given them all this time to work out. They're still not working out. So at what stage are we going to make a stand for ourselves and our own happiness and say, this is going to be a big jump, but we've got to make it. You know, we have to make a jump because otherwise nothing is going to change.
And was he, how was he feeling?
I think his friends kept saying to him, like, no, but are you not angry? Like, how are you not really angry? And he's like, well, you can't make somebody want to be with you if they don't want to be with you. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there was anger in there. There was sadness. And I mean, I've been life coaching for 20 years. So to me, there were some major red flags in there. And I tried everything I knew how to do mm-hmm. in order to help somebody along the way.
Do you feel like you waited too long?
No, I couldn't have gone any sooner.
Okay. That's good. That's peace of mind.
I couldn't have gone any sooner because of the kids. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And also, this is a funny thing. I knew that something was brewing, but I didn't know what it was. And when we were talking about, okay, so where are we going to move after this house? Because we knew the house was coming to an end at some stage. You know, that's the thing about a landlord. You don't mm-hmm. have the control over that anymore.
Right.
We knew it was coming to an end. And we looked over in BC and we looked over other places. And I just knew I couldn't make a decision because I said, I know it's not here, but I don't know where it is yet. Mm-hmm. And I know wherever I go next, I need to be there, but I can't tell you what it is yet. And then when I knew, I just knew.
Right.
And so then we had that conversation at the end of March. Then we packed up the house and whatever. Well, I was still working until a week before I left. And then within that last week, I got shippers in. We went round, we divided up the house. We got rid of a whole bunch of stuff. We got really practical. He moved into his place. The packers packed up everything that was left.
You sold a bunch of stuff, I know.
Sold a bunch of stuff. Mm-hmm. I sold my sports car, which I sold my horse. Mm-hmm. You know, things really near and dear to my heart, but
right.
I couldn't take them
with
me. And
each one of these events is a major life event of getting rid of something, selling your house, selling your horse, ending your marriage. Everything is a big, major thing.
Major.
And they're happening.
Yeah,
one after
absolutely.
Another.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All in such a short space of time.
Right.
And then, so I booked my flights and I didn't really think about it other than, and you'll appreciate this, obviously being American, other than I landed in England on the 4th of July.
Your Independence Day.
Yes. And oh, how I chuckled because that was never, you know, part of my plan. It was just, well, actually, you know, that flight works, that price works, blah, blah, blah. Okay, I'll do that. Uh-huh. And so that was that. So I came home with my daughter because she'd finished elementary school and we'd briefly mentioned, because all of this happened so fast, we briefly mentioned that, okay, so the house is selling, so we need to go. So how about we go to England? And my daughter was like, yeah, cool. But at that stage, she thought we'd all be going to England.
Oh.
And then the next morning, that's when we had the other conversation to say, nah, we're not all going to England. But she and I have moved to England. And well, as it happens, my oldest son now is working in Boston and my middle son is finishing high school, because he didn't finish high school because of his year over here playing football. He's finishing high school in Canada. So everything about my family changed within such a short space of time. Mm-hmm. And for a number of months, nobody knew what the next step was. My husband didn't, you know, he was taking a new job, but he didn't know what his next step was. He was self-employed for years. And then he said, actually, there's too much going on. I just need to get a job so I've got some stability, mm-hmm. which he's done. And now it's working out to be really good, which is great. My middle son didn't know whether he was going to live in Canada or England. My oldest son didn't know whether he was going to be able to get this work visa for an internship down in the States or whether he was going to stay in Canada. He didn't know that. And my daughter obviously didn't know what school she was going to, where we were going to be living,
if she would have any friends.
Exactly.
What all life looked like at all. Yeah.
Exactly. She'd never lived anywhere other than our one house in Canada. Mm-hmm. And I looked at the map and went, okay, well, mum's there. My two sisters are here. Spin the finger and dot, that's where we're going to live. And that's where we live now. So there was a lot.
Yeah. Well, and it's not just that. I mean, once you got to your place, then you've got to find a job. I mean, I know you had to find a place to live. You had to buy a car. You had to wait for your...
Oh, my container took 3 months.
There.
Yeah, it came last week, beginning of October, my container came. So wow. It was chaos.
So you're dealing with all of these changes, turning your life completely upside down. And I mean, just because your plane landed in England and you've made these hard decisions and they're done, I mean, that's not the end of it. There, you know, there's residual things that you have to work through. And I would think, and I do think that this is probably true, that that's when the hard work started for you.
Yeah, it's funny. When everything's right in front of your face, you just get on with it. Mm-hmm. But it's the managing your emotions and managing your thoughts and your self-talk when you're in periods of waiting for things to happen. Mm-hmm. Because when it's all there, there's motion. It's easy.
You can just work through it. Yeah,
exactly. You get carried along with it. When you've got those times when you're like, I have no idea how this is going to work out.
Mm-hmm. And no control.
No control. Mm-hmm. And you can put every ounce of effort in and you have to trust. You just have to trust.
Yeah. There's so much to unpack in all of this. First of all, I want to go back to when you were in Canada and you were making these decisions, because I know there are a lot of people that would just stay in the situation that they're in because, A, it may be easy, two, it's familiar, three, mm-hmm. They're just doing things for the children and making mm-hmm. it convenient for the children. But you got to the place where you knew that you needed to make a change for you. Mm. How hard was that? And how does someone start to begin to put themselves first?
So it doesn't happen overnight, is what I'll say. Mm-hmm. As any major life change, never happens overnight.
Right.
From the outside, it's like, don't they say like a successful or an overnight business takes 10 years?
Right.
Yeah.
To be an overnight success,
exactly.
You have to put in 10 years. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So none of it happens immediately. It wasn't exactly like a split decision. It was a harsh conversation that had to be, it wasn't even a harsh conversation. It was a difficult conversation.
Yeah. I can't even imagine the words actually finally getting them to come out of your mouth.
I mean, the indecision no, I can't say it was indecision, the fear,
Yeah.
plain old fear that happened so fast that I had to make the decision of if I don't speak up now, I have just determined my next years ahead, because we cannot go forward and build a new life and then me change my mind.
Right.
Whatever I do now,
This
I'm
is it.
committed. I am 100% committed,
Oh.
because I can be honest, but there's no way I would drag my husband, soon to be ex-husband, through that to create a whole new life and then walk away from it. I was not prepared to do that.
Yeah.
Because that's just a horrid thing to do. That's just unfair.
Yeah.
And that's not what this whole thing was about. I knew I needed to make a change. And I know that, my kids obviously have had different reactions. And it's changed my relationships with my kids. Not in all in a bad way. It's just changed them. But I had to be as fair as I possibly could. But ultimately, having raised three kids, I had to make a stand for myself. And I thought, if I don't make this stand for myself, what am I teaching them?
Right, exactly.
I mean,
Well, not only that, if you had stayed and built the next chapter of your life with your now ex-husband, then you wouldn't have been living an authentic life. And
No.
I don't think that any of you would have been the better for it.
No,
You wouldn't
exactly.
have been there 100%. And they
Nope.
deserve 100%.
Yeah.
In order for them to have 100%, you have to be at 100%.
You've got to want to be there. And I mean, I knew over the years, Christmas, family Christmases were becoming more hard work. And I love Christmas, absolutely love Christmas. And even I was feeling like, yeah, this is just becoming hard work, actually. And it's so much of it is natural progression as your kids grow. I was just having this conversation with somebody today, actually. As your kids grow, when you've had a family life, you cannot imagine how different things will become.
No. There's no way of
If
knowing that.
there's
No
no
way.
way of knowing, and even though you can still have a fantastic relationship with your kids and be just on the best of terms with them, that you can talk about anything and all the rest of it, at the end of the day, if you've raised them to the best of your ability and in a way that you would want to raise them to be independent, adults in the world, they don't want to be living with you anymore. You're not as important to them as you once were for all of their social interactions. They need to go. But that also then means you're left.
Right.
And what are you left with? At some stage, you have to make that conscious decision of what am I left with?
Yeah. So then the next thing is, what are you left with? So you're making these decisions and you're left with yourself and the fear of knowing now it's just you. Everything is up to you. And you're in a new place and you're figuring out a new life where all this hard work is beginning to start. I'm sure there were dark days. Tell us how you got through that time.
So this is not going to be news to you because you do it anyway. But this is when self-care has been a lifesaver. And as soon as I knew, well, yeah, once the decision was made and I was committed, every single morning, as soon as I woke up, because obviously I'd moved into a different room and, all the rest of it. Once I'd made that decision, as soon as you wake up in the morning in those really, really key moments when sometimes your mind starts wandering, all I could do to manage that was to say, right, up and out, get out of bed, let's go. So I would get out of bed, put on whatever clothes just happened to be around, even though I was sleeping in my study at this stage because that was the spare room, which was a bit random. I felt like I was like in a college bed sit because I was sleeping in my own study because obviously I've been working in the spare room so long. I would just put some clothes on, get my trainers on, go for a walk every single morning because I needed to do that to shift the energy because otherwise my mind would start spinning.
Right.
And once you're committed to something, what's the benefit of then just letting your mind spin on it? It just won't serve you. If you've made your decision, you go with it. And if I let my mind spin, there would only be fear. Just, what's the point? So I would walk every morning. And of course, that shifts the energy and it gets some endorphins going. And it just put me on an even keel. So at least then when I came back, I thought, okay, at least I can think straight now. And then from there, I'd come back and do yoga. Because that also helps you to stretch and, you know, feel calm, but also really helps you process energy shifts. And I had so many energy shifts going on at the time. And then meditation. And I gave myself that time because I actually didn't know how else to function. Because I knew I had so much on the horizon and I didn't know how I was going to get through it all. And I didn't know how things were going to end up. And I didn't know if it was going to be tough or easy. I didn't know any of that. But I knew I was walking this path. So self-care was literally a lifesaver. And it just kept my mind straight and kept me calm. Because that was the only way I could handle any of it. Mm-hmm. Now, and the irony in all of that was in that time between the end of March and when I left at the end of June, I took on a new business idea and I've never been so busy or so happy or so fulfilled. Everything lined up in a miraculous way. And people kept saying, oh my goodness, I can't believe what's going on. And yet here you are still doing what you do, using your intuition. And I started working with horses and doing equine Reiki. So I was there in the calmest state of mind, in the most peaceful place, helping people to heal through stuff with their horses. And they were like, but hold on a minute, when are you going? I'm like, oh, 3 weeks. But you can see me before then, you know. And business kept coming in and the results were amazing. And it was crazy. It was almost as if I have never been more in tune and never been more in flow.
Do you think that's because you were focusing on your own self-care and calming yourself every morning and getting into, being in your own head so that you could clear that stuff out to make room for what you were doing after that?
Yeah, I think it was, and really interesting that you said being in your own head. I was in my own space, but I was not in my own head.
Right. Okay.
That's the whole point. I was trying to get out of my own head.
Right. Yeah.
Because my head probably would have been my worst enemy in that situation. I just had to trust, get really grounded, get really stable, because that's the only place you can make decisions from. Mm-hmm. But it was just crazy. So the abundance, you know, the money was flowing in, new customers were coming. Everything was lining up, like, you know, the packers were coming in, all the dates lined up. Then there was my daughter's graduation. Those dates lined up. We got her dress straight away, got her shoes, blah, 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 blah. Everything that needed to happen just flowed. And I mean, I don't know that I'd have had the bandwidth to actually question it if it hadn't, but I didn't even need to because everything just flowed in those few months. It was crazy. And I think I just had an incredible sense of trust. Mm-hmm. And I've never been a religious person. I'm very spiritual, absolutely. Spiritual, religious, depends what you want to call it, how you want to, you know, see them one and the same. There was such trust in knowing that I'd made a decision that was not an easy decision, but it came from such a deep sense of knowing that I had to do something. And for returning to England, for me, it was basically like, I feel like I have to go home. And I've never been patriotic. I never even wanted to live in England. But the sense of you need to go home was so strong. And the ridiculous thing is, since I've been back in England, I've never appreciated England more.
That's awesome. So was this sense that and this self-care that you were doing in those few months before you went back to England, has that continued? Have you needed to continue that since
Oh,
you've been
yeah.
home?
Yeah, absolutely. So, interesting fact, okay, and this will, with your midlife audience, this might strike a chord. So when we moved back, we moved straight in with my mum. My daughter and I moved in with my mum, and she doesn't have the room, or I didn't have the setup for my yoga and all the rest of it. But what I could do every day was walk. And so I walked, and sometimes I'd walk an hour a day. And because she lives in a town, and it's got various, it's almost sort of like you've got the hub of the town, a small town, and then the roads going off in various different directions. And so I would just choose a different direction. And some days I'd walk off, east, west, south, whatever. And I'd just keep walking because I just needed to move. And I wasn't listening to anything or anything. I just needed to move. So I walked and walked and walked. And then, because I guess of everything that was going on, I started getting hot flushes, which was interesting because, without going into too much graphic detail, it was about the time that I was coming to my last period. So I knew, and I'd been having, night sweats and stuff for many, many years, but they'd really subsided. So I figured I'm through it, I'm out of it, I'm done. Anyway, when I was there and I wasn't doing the yoga and meditation, and obviously I was probably in a huge amount of stress, even though I was calm, still a huge amount of stress,
Yeah, your
hot flushes
cortisol was
started.
pumping, right?
Yeah, seriously, hot flushes started coming. And I mean, like 7 or 8 to 10 a day, which was interesting. And also, I changed my diet and all this sort of stuff. So it was really interesting to me. I just went, holy cow, what is this? I thought I'd escaped this. I wasn't having it. And anyway, so then I started being really mindful about, about what I was eating, what I was drinking. And they sort of, came and went a little bit. Anyway, about 6 weeks later, then we moved into, is it 6 weeks? No, maybe closer to 8 weeks. Then we moved, I found a place. So we moved into our place. No furniture or anything. My mum basically kitted us out with a spare table, spare chairs. I bought things on Marketplace. I bought a dining table on Marketplace. My sister-in-law, bless her heart, lent me an old sofa. My mum lent me a table, a couple of chairs. I had my sister's camping chairs. I mean, we were literally camping for a month. My mum sent me home with, or sent me to my house with like a plastic bag full of some kitchen equipment and a few plates and stuff.
Here's a spoon and a
Yeah,
fork.
literally. It's like, Harriet, where's the spoon?
You done with the spoon? Can you
Yeah.
wash that so I can use it?
I mean, it was almost like that. It was crazy. So we moved into this place. My daughter and I were living here, and we were just like camping. And then she couldn't get a school place. There's just, so we were waiting for a month for her to get a school place. So there was those challenges, and I'd started a new job, working from online. But anyway, so there were enough challenges on their own, but I kept walking, I kept doing yoga, and I kept meditating. And just, I'd say the last week or last couple of weeks, probably, I've either had time for yoga or either walk, most walks, but shorter walks probably, and a little bit of yoga. But I've let the yoga subside slightly, and the hot flushes have come back in.
Oh, well, there you
Yeah,
go.
absolutely. And also because when all of my stuff just recently arrived, I haven't been doing all my meditation, but with my shamanic work. And that takes you into a completely deeper, different level of meditation. And I actually think that I'm missing that as well. So I need, now that I'm being more mindful about getting back into that, but I seriously, seriously think that that's made a difference. So anyway, so yeah, so the funny thing is, so it's half term in England now. So my daughter's gone back to Canada for a week to be with her dad and her brother. And so I'm on my own in our new house with now with furniture. And
Plenty of
it's the first
spoons.
plenty of spoons. And so it's the first time I've been on my own in 20 years for a week.
That's, I mean, I hope that everyone that's listening can get their minds around everything that you have decided, spoken your mind about, and been through in the last year. Because I know there are a lot of people who are probably in the same space and are stuck at that fear stage
It's
where you were.
a steep, steep, steep hill.
But I want them to, I definitely wanted them to hear your story that if you're taking care of yourself and you've got self-care in place, that there is a beautiful field of flowers on the other side of that fear bridge. I don't know how else to put that, but I mean, what is your space now? How are you feeling now that you are on the other side?
It's funny because I still kind of go over it in my head and go, actually, how am I feeling? I remember you asking that one time on one of your podcasts, go, actually, how am I feeling? So with super advice from people like you on your podcast. I would say now I feel like I have a foundation. The weirdest thing is, you know how there's always, I think it's like a Tony Robbins saying or somebody saying about growth starts at the end of your comfort zone, or whatever that saying is. To be really uncomfortable, to be safe, safety is one thing. So it brings in those Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Safety is one thing, and I was never unsafe. And I was never, I didn't leave the marriage because of anything to do with that. I was never unsafe. It was purely a choice of what does my future look like. And that level of comfort, however, so when we were camping in the house, we went on Marketplace. We bought my daughter a single bed, which we carried in my car, and I was driving along with my head at like 45 degree angle because my new car is so small here. Oh, and that's another thing about the finances. We'll tell you about that because that was a challenge. And so we bought my daughter a single bed, and up till then we just had mattresses on the floor, and so we made her a proper bed with her mattress in, and we bought some wire coat rack things off Amazon. Bless Amazon. So we both had kind of somewhere to hang our one suitcase of clothes that we've been living out of for 3 months. And I remember just seeing her room and seeing her lying in her bed and just crying because I didn't realize how uncomfortable I'd been just by camping. Because I know I was safe, but although it's comfortable and you can do it, it's so uncomfortable being without any possessions. And it was such a stretch. And it was those sort of milestones of who knew the joy of an IKEA bed could actually make me more grateful for possessions. And I mean, I've got rid of a ton of possessions, but there is a basic level that serves you really well. Having a sofa to sit on and a table to eat at. And just being immensely grateful for those sorts of things.
I can also imagine seeing her laying on her bed in her new room too, and just being relieved.
Yeah, hugely, hugely relieved that things were starting. I can't even say to get back to normal. Things were starting to feel like life.
Yeah.
And, you know, coming from a hugely privileged background of family life that we'd worked hard to create for 20 years, you know, none of that comes overnight. And so some people might say, well, to walk away from that, you know, well, what were you thinking? You know, we don't feel sorry for you or anything. And I'm not asking for anyone to feel sorry for me at all, because I don't feel sorry for myself. Why would I? This is right. entirely my choice. I'm immensely proud of myself for making the decision. I'm hugely grateful that I've been able to have the conversations with my children about the whole thing. So my oldest son, he was angry and he was mad.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to have a conversation on a very different level than we normally would. My middle son handled it very differently. And my daughter, considering she's had her whole life changed, is doing really well. She's made new friends. She's now in school. She's in a dance theatre group, which is what she always wanted. She's horse riding, which is what she loved doing, but has made massive progress. So things, you know, are actually going really well.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's the other thing that I know that you said, to give people inspiration, that there is hope on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
There is absolutely hope on the other side, because sitting here on my own in my new house, I'm less lonely than I felt many, many times sitting in my family house.
Mm, yeah.
Because I feel I'm at peace.
Yeah, that's profound. That really is.
Yeah. And I mean, I've had to say that if people have said, oh, you know, are you going to be all right for this week? It's like, well, yeah, actually, because nobody was worried about me when I was lonely as hell in my family house. And your kids are off doing their things and, you know, your husband's off doing his thing again.
Uh-huh.
And there you are holding the family house together, but actually they're all fine. They're all doing their thing. But what about you?
Well, you know how proud I am of you. I've told you many times, and I'll tell you again that if I feel like I've been busy this year, I can't even, I mean, it's not even a tenth of what you've been dealing with and what you've been doing. And so the sheer strength that you have put out as an example is so inspiring to me.
Thank you.
So, you know, it's been amazing. So what are you doing? Are you starting your podcast again? Because I know that you took a break.
I mean,
because you can't deal with all that and do a podcast.
Yeah.
So what are you into over there, and what's going on?
So I am restarting The Magical Midlife, mm-hmm. because I actually feel that I'm probably living a more authentic magical midlife than I've ever lived before. And I'm having all of those midlife things, physical things coming in that had passed me by before, because I just didn't put myself under this level of stress. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so yes, The Magical Midlife is absolutely coming back. Probably I'm recording some episodes this week. And so I think we are going to be going live from the beginning of November, which was a few months later than I hoped for. But
it's okay. As long as you,
that's okay.
As long as you come back. I was afraid you might not come back.
Yeah, so was I.
Yeah.
So leaving myself space for that. So yeah, The Magical Midlife will absolutely be coming back.
Well, as we wrap up, I want to ask you one last question, because I know there's going to be at least, well, fingers crossed, there's one person listening to this podcast that identifies with where you were last mm-hmm. March, and they just need a little something. They need a few words. What would you tell her?
Trust your instinct. Especially if you've been living in a situation and you know in your heart, you truly know in your heart that you no longer need to be there or want to be there, call in the support and do what needs doing. I reached out to three people because I knew once I'd said this out loud, there was no going back.
Mm-hmm.
And Leslie, you were one of those people. because I knew I needed to confide in somebody who I could really trust and who would support me without judgment to make the move that I had to make, because I knew I had to do it. Otherwise, my life would have taken on a completely different path, which I wasn't prepared to walk. So, yeah, trust your instincts and call in the help of people that you know you can trust. Not people that approve, but people you know will support you.
Awesome. Great advice. And I knew at the time that it was a monumental thing that you were going through. And the fact that you confided in me and said those things out loud, it was an honor for me to be able to support you through that and continue to support you through that. And
Thank you.
I value and love our friendship more than you know.
Thank you. It's so mutual, and I'm so grateful to have you in my life.
Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, my
This has
love.
been
It's
great.
been so fun.
A giant thank you and virtual hug to my friend Lindsay for being on the podcast today and for sharing herself and her complete honesty and authenticity about the very hard decisions she had to face to make and to follow through on this year for the sake of saving herself. Now, I know that we will all be touched in some way by her story, facing fear, having to put ourselves first sometimes, having to upset the apple cart of others and the guilt over doing that, knowing and accepting that change not only needs to, but has to happen. Letting everyone around you know that things aren't perfect. Because we all try to be that perfect person, beating back the judgment and the guilt and then relying on help from others to get through when you just can't do it yourself. But I think when we face all of these things, we find out who we truly are and what we are truly capable of. Now, my friend Lindsay is one of the strongest women that I know. And I guarantee you, whoever you are that is listening, you are also one of the strongest women that I know. As Glennon Doyle says, we can do hard things, especially when we know that we will be lost if we don't. And change and making pivots takes time, but it's important to make that investment in ourselves. Now, I may not know you personally, you that is listening, but I know you. You are worth it and you deserve it. Thanks for listening today. And if you've enjoyed today's episode, make sure to share it with a friend and follow the show on Apple Podcasts or wherever you are listening so that future episodes will automatically show up in your podcast library. If you would like to be supported by other midlife women like Lindsay, make sure to get into the Redesigning Midlife for Women Over 50 Health and Wellness Support Community on Facebook. Search for it on Facebook with that name, Redesigning Midlife for Women Over 50 Health and Wellness Support Community. It'll show up. And get in, or you can just follow the link that's in the show notes. I'll put that there as well. And then make sure to go find Lindsay and her podcast, Magical Midlife, and send her a note of support. I know that she would absolutely love that. Till next time, friends, make sure to show as much compassion to others as you yourself need today. Work hard to make this world a better place in your own little place. Spread the love and joy this holiday season. Sending love to everyone. Bye.